Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up in the last hour, the member of We Are Change that talks to Trilateral Commission member who said that they're planning war with Iran. Headline, Trilateral Commission wants war with Iran. That's coming up in the last hour. Bob Chapman, couldn't be a more important time to interview him on what's happening with the global financial meltdown coming up in the next hour. Sometime in the next 10 minutes, we're scheduled to get a call from a prison facility. And I'm just going to leave it at that, and I don't know if this is going to happen today. But it's supposedly going to happen. And this is big medicine. This is big information. It actually gives me chills. I can't believe my life. I can't believe I'm in the middle of this. I can't believe. I just wish the public did the research I've done. I wish they understood what I understand. That's all I try to do is get the info out. Once you've done the research, it's all crystal clear. And so that's coming up. And we're going to open the phones up after these guests leave us as well today on this live Friday edition. We also need your financial support, and you do that by buying the books and videos and materials at InfoWars.com. Plus, it all gets the info out to everybody. Don't Tread on Me is now shipping today. It officially comes out Monday, so many of you will be getting it today, tomorrow, and on Monday. You can order Don't Tread on Me by Gary Franchi, William Lewis, Rise of the Republic, featuring R.J. Harris, Michael Bagnarek, Tom DeWeese, Alex Jones, Edwin Vieira, Richard Mack, Cynthia Davis, Charles Key, and many, many others. It's about 10th Amendment, Democracy versus Republic. From the Tea Party movement to state legislators, the American people are drawing the line in the sand. On what side of it will you stand? Has the government our forefathers created been forgotten? And by Washington, D.C., is a patriot uprising ready to capture the spirit of 1776? Don't Tread on Me gives the viewer a look into the movement's mindset and legislation that will catapult the Great Restoration into households across America. What is the choke collar the federal government uses to rein in the states? Are the states sovereign or subject to Washington, D.C.? What did the founders foresee, and how did they seek to protect us from tyrannical government? Don't Tread on Me exposes the Commerce Clause, defines sovereignty, the proper role of government, the constitutional militia, and much more. Don't Tread on Me offers sound solutions to take back rights stolen by our out-of-control, despotic federal government. Don't Tread on Me will educate, inspire, and activate a nation desperately seeking direction. What side of the line of the sand will you be on? Instead of all fighting with each other over race and religion, we need to decide we're Americans for the Bill of Rights, for the Constitution, for liberty, and we need to stand up now. But we also need to speak out in a strong way to cut through all the chatter and disinformation. We need to be authoritative, definitive, and strong. You need to feel that human spirit of liberty boiling in your heart and your guts and in your brain. As Thomas Jefferson said, we must set bushfires in the minds of men and women everywhere so that liberty spread like a great fire, illuminating minds, waking people up. And again, when I use the term illuminating, I don't mean the Illuminati's dark light. They take everything and create a counterfeit of it. I mean the true illuminating light of freedom and of God's love against the black sunshine of the New World Order. Oh, they're illuminated by the dark light of deception and evil and greed and bondage and control of civilization and society. We must pull back the electronic Berlin Wall curtain and let the sunshine in. And every time you speak up, every time you make a copy of a film, every time you educate somebody, every time you get a copy of Invisible Empire, Police State 4, Don't Tread on Me, and give it to everyone you know or have viewing parties, you poke holes in that curtain and more sunshine is coming through. And that's what we're seeking to do. So get Don't Tread on Me, Invisible Empire, and other powerful films at InfoWars.com. Or you can call toll-free, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. Or you can see all my films, super high quality, at PrisonPlanet.tv, like Invisible Empire and Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA. We'll be right back.
most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
They help to create a new world order.
We are part of a new world order.
A new world order based upon collective action.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the globalists through their own words and documents.
The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
It means all the world under their control.
The United Nations would take over America. The Trilateral Commission would control the world.
Invisible Empire chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
Global governance with the establishment of the G20.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
Invisible Empire. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Or watch it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now, new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup insurance and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're live 8 minutes into the second hour. We just started simulcasting at PrisonPlanet.tv for radio listeners that want to go over to PrisonPlanet.tv and watch another dimension of this transmission. It's a multimedia cast. We are here waiting for a call with a special guest, and we're going to see if we're able to get this done. If not, I'm not going to be able to tell you who the guest was, so we can try again. In fact, they're on the phone right now. Sometimes, you know, we just engage in our journalism openly on the air. And all right, we're going live right now. We've got them. Okay. I'm go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, okay, I'm go. All right, I'm going to ask him to give us the data dump immediately. I'm going to tell you who they are, because the powers that be do not want this information out. It deals with the Trinidad case, Oklahoma City, a cover-up that won't stay covered. Kenneth Michael Trinidad, of course, was killed, and and we're talking to David Paul Hammer. Introduce yourself quickly, and then introduce David Paul Hammer and tell people what they're about to hear.
Mr. Jones.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay, so this is David Paul Hammer.
Yes,
sir, you...
This is David Hammer, and I'm coming to you live from Federal Death Row in Indiana.
Okay, quickly, tell folks, in case they cut you off, exactly what Tim McVeigh told you.
Wow, where to start? I was here with Tim McVeigh from July 1999 until his execution in June of 2001. I had numerous conversations with him over that prolonged period of time. We made an agreement for him to provide information to me that could be verified in order for me to write a book. He knew of my intentions to write a book about him and the Oklahoma City bombing. Along the way, he would provide me information, and I would provide it to people on the outside to try and verify as much as they could. The result of that is my most recent book called Deadly Secrets. McVeigh told me and another inmate here that he was actually an agent working for a guy he called the Major. And he allegedly met this man when he reported to for special trainings duty. And he was told to wash out of special training and asked to accept what was called black ops operations. And he would be working as an independent person as a part of, and that he would recruit people to be in his unit. According to McVeigh, this association went on for several years, from the end of 1992, and throughout the date of the bombing of the Murrow Building on April 19th, 1995. This person he identified as the Major also provided financing for the Oklahoma City bombing, at least $60,000 over a two-year period of time. During the weeks leading up to the bombing, McVeigh was in contact with this individual, and the person that the Major had selected for to work with McVeigh to actually build the bomb. And according to McVeigh, they built the bomb that blew up the Murrow Building at a warehouse in Oklahoma City on the 18th of April of 1995.
Now, to be clear, Terry Nichols has signed a sworn affidavit also, and that McVeigh told him he was black ops. McVeigh was also videotaped. This has been covered by national news a year after he was supposedly at the military at a demolitions base. And, of course, also Jesse Trinidad and others have sued and gotten the secret documents. This has been in major newspapers that the FBI anti-terror team was there the week before. They lied about that and said they weren't. Of course, we've had Jane Graham and other witnesses who were inside who saw McVeigh in the building and other maintenance men planting gray sticks of butter. The grand jury was given this info, but Hoppy Heidelberg was told to shut up, the foreman of the grand jury. So what you're saying dovetails with what McVeigh has told others. Specifically, what else did McVeigh tell you, sir?
Well, he also told me about the bombing that the major had told him that another team was placing C4 explosives inside the Murrow Building, and that there was actually two bombs went off, the bomb that he built as well as the C4 explosives inside the building. And something you touched on about the military, you know, through these classified documents that Mr. Trinity and other people have been able to gather, McVeigh's Army records show that he has a secret military clearance through 1996 that didn't expire to 1996, even though he allegedly was out of the service by 1992, including his stint with the Army National Guard in New York. McVeigh told us that as part of his preparation and training for the Murrow Building bombing, that he actually did visit some military bases that these meetings were arranged by the Major, and that he at one point considered stealing explosives military bases to build his bomb rather than to use a fertilizer bomb.
Now, McVeigh had told other people things like this, but then we're given these supposed media tapes, audio tapes, with him telling a different story, but it's also even come out in Newsweek that he said one day it will come out that the government did this. Specifically, how were they controlling McVeigh? Did you ever see Jolly and West in there with him? Why do we get different versions, or is that the media cutting and pasting?
No, I believe that a lot of what you're getting is what McVeigh wanted out. His so-called story, the Lone Wolf mastermind. I mean, that's the story that McVeigh wanted portrayed to the public, at least after his death. And I mean, recently I listened to the national broadcast of the tapes, which was really nothing more than a verbal report on the book that Lou Michel and the other fella wrote about McVeigh. Mainly, it really made me want to puke as I was listening to and watching this program, because it was nothing more than the official version of what allegedly happened in Oklahoma City. And having heard from Tim's own mouth time after time after time other things that contradicted that official story, and having been able to verify these things, it really amazes me that the public continues, or at least some of the public continues, to buy this official version of the Oklahoma City bombing. I mean, it defies logic. If you look at McVeigh and all of his travels and the things that he did, the odd jobs that he held along the way, there's no way he could have even supported himself, let alone put together money for a bomb of the type that they built. Actually, for what it's worth, I was at the ADX, that's the federal supermax prison in Florence, Colorado, where Terry Nichols is currently housed. I was there with McVeigh before they activated the federal death row unit. And so the tapes, the first two days of taping that he did with Lou Michel, I was in a cubicle right next to him that's plexiglass. I could see Tim. He was walking around and gesturing wildly, and which is how Tim was when he was telling a story or talking about something that excited him. And you could overhear bits and pieces of the conversation. I was there with my attorney, so we weren't really trying to listen to his conversation, but sometimes you couldn't help but hear it. And the fact that my attorney had never been around McVeigh or seen him, he was kind of paying attention. and then they finished up the second 2 days of that interview in January of 1999 after we had arrived here in Terre Haute. And Tim would come back from talking with the reporters, and we would have question and answer services through the door. And we were in cells, just a couple of cells apart. And here you communicate through the door or out the back window. That was at the old prison where we were. We're actually in a new facility now, but where Tim and I were, it was easy for us to communicate. So we didn't have to necessarily be outside
sure.
of recreation.
Real fast, David Paul Hammer. Yeah. We're going to skip this break in case you get cut off. Just to have it on record, they have been keeping you from talking to the media.
I'm not allowed to talk to the media, and I fought it for 11 years in court. The last news media interview that was allowed here was Timothy McVeigh's interview on 60 Minutes. After that, they stopped all media interviews live, face-to-face or otherwise. There's a very limited situation where you can get a monitored telephone interview.
Incredible, and this interview, I mean, why are you speaking out now here on this show? I mean, in case they kick you off, just...
It's very simple, Alex. I want the truth to come out. I want people to investigate. The facts are there. I've laid out the facts in my latest book, Deadly Secrets. And I'm not just promoting the book or trying to plug the book. Obviously, I want to do that, but it's more than that. There's a roadmap to an investigation, and if anyone that has the power to do it will just initiate an investigation, a grand jury investigation is what is needed. I mean, there's been other FBI people who said that. It seems to me, and I've said this before, but Alex, someone has to care what happened in Oklahoma City. I mean, I understand that 9/11 happened, and it was a far more people lost their lives, and it was more damage. It was more, but Oklahoma happened before that.
I hear you, David. David, they could cut you off any time. Other things that McVeigh told you, did he ever talk about, you know, how he was black ops, which other people signed affidavits on, like Terry Nichols? Did he ever talk about that and why he was, you know, I mean, did he ever try to get this information out? Were they threatening his family? I mean, was he angry about being set up as a patsy? Why did the government bomb it?
He obviously, anytime you would mention it or ask him or bring up the possibility that he was set up as a patsy, he said absolutely not, that things happened by design. No, he never said that he was being threatened. He made it appear in all of his conversations with us that he truly believed he was working for the government, that he was still part of the military. And he never, Kim didn't care much for anyone other than himself. He didn't have any love for his family. His sister would be the exception. His father, his mother, he
okay, let me throw this out then, and people can pull this up. A TV reporter and a newspaper reporter at his execution who witnessed it said when they took him out, he was still breathing. Do you believe, I mean, so you're saying he still thought he was working for the government. He may have a face job and be living in Maui.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know about Maui, but I mean, this is one of the scenarios, and I talked about it again in the book. Is he told us many times he would vacillate on this issue from time to time, but his main theme was that he was not going to be executed, that the major was going to have someone infiltrate the execution team, and that he would be given drugs that would feign the appearance of death. But and he says the CIA and other people use these drugs, and that they would be taken out, and he would be brought, you know, given some type of medication that would counteract the other, and that he would be rewarded for serving his country. And you know, it sounds a little bit far fetched, but I mean, I've talked to several people who witnessed the execution, including Janie Coverdale. And she doesn't know one way or another whether Tim was executed. He was covered up from toe to neck, and he couldn't see any type of IV lines or anything running into his veins. And so she clearly says that she doesn't know if he was executed or not, and she watched him. So, you know, I don't know if Tim McVeigh is dead.
So McVeigh told you, well, we can pull up the articles where reporters said he was still breathing when they wheeled him out. I mean, I remember that on TV, but it wasn't national news. It was in Indiana. TV reporters, a newspaper reporter, I remember seeing one of the reporters on the news, a black guy. We've got to pull that up. In fact, Google that. You know, reporters said it appeared McVeigh was still alive after execution. Sir, this is...
Alex, part of my bargain with McVeigh to get him to provide me information so I could write the book was that I'm a jailhouse lawyer, and I do quite a bit of litigation for inmates. And one of the things that he didn't want was an autopsy. And he had the reason he didn't want an autopsy is because he said he was going to be feigned the appearance of death. And I fought that issue in my own case, in my death penalty case, with the assistance of my attorneys. And we won the fact that you didn't have to. We won that. And McVeigh used that as a precedent on himself so he wouldn't have to have an autopsy. I mean, these are all things, a lot of it's circumstantial, but it adds up to what he thought was going
to
happen.
But to be clear, David Paul Hammer, it's on record that you're in Terre Haute Federal Execution Center right now. And
federal death row.
Yeah, federal death row, and that McVeigh told you that they were planning to stage his execution, that he was going to be rewarded. Please repeat that on record. And then secondarily, did he ever talk about why the government bombed Oklahoma City?
Yes, he did talk about that. First, I'll do what you ask about. McVeigh did not believe that he was going to be executed. He believed that he was going to go through the motions and that he was going to be given drugs that would feign the appearance of death and then be counteracted once he was out of the institution and in the custody of his attorney. He was actually released to his remains was released to the custody of one of his attorneys.
Secondarily, quickly, this is key. Why? Did the government want to, I mean, why did he believe it was patriotic to bomb OKC?
Well, what he came to believe throughout the course of his mission was that this was a way for the government to gain control over the right-wing militia patriot movement that because of Ruby Ridge and because of Waco, bombing that was attributed to people with those leanings or those associations, that the government could pass laws easier and that, that those type of people would fall out of favor with the American public.
Okay, sir. Data dump. I've got to take this network break in a few minutes, and if you're still there, and I appreciate you coming on this show, again, this just dropped on our lap literally yesterday. Data dump in the next 4 minutes. Other key points that you want out there on the record.
Well, the fact that Tim McVeigh, there's two things. The one big thing is that the government had prior warning, many, many prior warnings that something was going to happen, and specifically that the Murrow Building was going to be bombed and that McVeigh was involved. Also that Andreas Strassmeyer, Dennis Mahan, Roger Moore, and the so-called Aryan Republic Army members, which was Peter Langdon, Scott Stediford, Michael Bresna, Kevin McCarthy, and Richard Guthrie were involved in the planning and security detail for McVeigh as part of the bombing. They were on site in Oklahoma City. Other things I want to be known is that the bomb that actually blew up the building was, according to Tim, was not made or put together in Kansas and driven to Oklahoma City. It was actually put together in a warehouse. He had told us the warehouse was just off of West Reno. And during our investigation and things that we were able to verify, we found out that that Tim, when arrested in his car, he had a piece of paper with the address and telephone number for a storage facility there in Oklahoma City, in about a half a mile from West Reno. So
was he supposed to be picked up driving a big yellow car with no license plate?
Well, he told us that actually Mike Bresna and Richard Guthrie were supposed to pick him up in an SUV, and that they didn't, and so that the Mercury was nothing but a secondary getaway car.
He was set up. He probably wasn't. They probably killed him. I'm sure they told him they were going to stage his death. He was sheep dipped out of the Army into black ops, and that's what Terry Nichols has sworn, and then that's what all the evidence is. I've talked to the grand jurors, everybody. They all know this. And what about Iraqis? We know they had Iraqis that were brought in by the U.S. government who'd been trained by the CIA in the 80s when Saddam was our ally. What about Iraqis swirling around? Did he ever talk about that?
Well, you know, he said that the people who believe that it was a red herring, I've tried to investigate and find out what I could about a foreign connection, and I don't have anything to say on that really, because Tim just kind of laughed it off when someone would bring that up. One thing I do want to mention in Terry Nichols' sworn declaration, he identifies Larry Potts as the person that McVeigh said he was working for as his handler. And
Larry Potts said that he was in Dallas and flew up there that day, but it turns out it's now been declassified that he was there before the bombing.
Yes, I've seen those documents. I quizzed McVeigh over and over and over. We could never get him to give us the identity of the major. I should say here for your audience, when I use the words we, I'm talking about myself and a fellow death row inmate here who was in on a lot of the conversations that I had with McVeigh, and so that's why I use the term we.
Well, this is all incredibly dangerous, and...
I did want to say one thing for your audience. If you know what happened to Kenneth Michael Trinity, he was killed while in BOP custody in Oklahoma City at the Federal Transfer Center. And when news got out, in order to write my book, I had to give it to the officials here to copy, and then I would send out pages, the chapters at a time. Back in September, I believe it was the 20th.
We've got a break. Stay there. We've got a break. Back in 3 minutes, okay. Sir. Please stay with us. From Death Row, folks. We'll be back.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
In March, Alex Jones announced that eFoods Direct was putting together a high-volume pre-production order of the new Quick Fix meals. By waiting for production and shipping of their orders, families were able to receive one free item for every three that they bought. Since the final shutdown of this buy three, get one free program, we've had a lot of folks calling, disappointed that they missed the order deadline. Listen carefully. Starting immediately, eFoodsDirect.com will take pre-production orders for a buy three, get one free program for 1 week ending May 14th at midnight. You will receive one free item for every three that you order of the selected products. These orders will begin shipping the first week of June. To order on the web, eFoodsDirect.com/GCN or call 800-409-5633. That's eFoodsDirect.com/GCN, 800-409-5633. Again, that's eFoodsDirect.com/GCN, 800-409-5633.
You may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
Tyranny is here. The grim future foretold in 1984 has become reality.
It really says that the state is God.
The United States is now recognized globally as one of the most oppressive police states on Earth. This film conclusively proves the existence of a secret network of FEMA camps, now being expanded nationwide. This documentary exposes how the continuity of government program has established an all-powerful shadow state. Police State 4 chronicles the sickening depths to which our republic has fallen. Prepare to enter the secretive world of emergency dictatorship. Body scanners, sound cameras, citizen spies, stage terror, and cameras on every street corner. It's only the beginning of the New World Order's hellish plan. The police state isn't coming. It's here. Secure your copy today at InfoWars.com or see it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. I'm Roger Mason, research chemist and developer of the all-natural supplement Beta Prostate, and I want you to know about a free bottle giveaway. Beta Prostate helps your body support good prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and even intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay a small shipping and handling fee. Make the call today and get your free bottle.
To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-360-8306. One free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-360-8306. That's 1-800-360-8306.
David Paul Hammer was already in prison and was convicted of killing his cellmate. It's on record that he was, for many years, in both prisons that McVeigh stayed in for many, many years. And he's written this book, and I've talked to lawyers involved. He was told, we'll stay your execution, we won't execute you if you don't write this book. Can you tell that story and why? You're basically forfeiting, it looks like, your life to get your book out, sir.
Well, I'm doing it for because I want the truth to come out about two things, the Oklahoma City bombing and what started me on this journey was Kenneth Trenard being killed at the Federal Transfer Center and my having contacted his brother, and it just led from there. But in September of this year, after I'd sent out bits and pieces of my manuscript for my latest book, and the feds had copies of it through prison officials, two people claiming to be FBI agents showed up, and I was taken out to a conference room where they showed me badges and credentials and told me that they went a little preliminary conversation and told me, look, we know about the book you're writing and the contents of the book, and we have the authority to tell you that if you will not write this book and not publish this book at this time, that you will not face a resentencing for the death penalty. And that if you don't, and if you don't accept our offer and you continue to write this book, we will use the full might of the United States government against you to ensure that you are executed. And
Have you seen the emails from the current attorney general at the time, the deputy attorney general, which have even been on the Drudge Report, where he's saying this is like D-Day. We've got to get down there and cover this up. You know, this could destroy us. I mean, I guess we could. Guys, pull up the Eric Holder emails on Oklahoma City. I want to show those to people. It's all over the web. Were you aware of that?
I've never seen those, but I have seen the emails in the Trinity case from Eric Holder when he was deputy attorney general, where they did the what they called the Trinity rollout plan to postpone the release of the OIG's report.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, I've seen those. I've seen all of those email exchanges, and ultimately, it's up to Eric Holder to decide whether or not I will be tried again. I guess I should explain that in 2005, a federal district court overturned my death sentence and ordered that I be resentenced within 60 days. That the government seek to a resentencing hearing that would be held before a jury, and they would once again decide whether or not I received death or life without parole. The government subsequently appealed that, and ultimately the Third Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals told the government that they didn't have jurisdiction until after resentencing. And that we're at that point now. The government has decided that they're going to allow us to present evidence to the Justice Department, and then Eric Holder will make a decision. The prior decision was made by Janet Reno in my case, and a decision has to be made by Eric Holder. So obviously my attorneys were very upset that I decided to go forward with this, because in my book I'm not very friendly to Eric Holder, because I print the facts about Eric Holder's involvement in the Trinity case.
How can people read the book?
It's available. The name of the book is Deadly Secrets, and it's available at AuthorHouse.com. We also have a website, Deadly-Secrets.com. You can get information for ordering the book there.
But you've been unable, with audio, to put this out in your own voice. So correct me if I'm wrong. This is the first time that you've been able to speak about this on air.
This is the first time live. I did one recorded conversation or interview a couple of weeks ago, but this is the first time that I've been able to do it live and with a national audience.
Is that recorded tape been released?
Yes, it's on the Internet. It was with Scott Shannon. And if you go to my website, www.deadly-secrets.com, there's a link there to an hour and 27-minute interview that I did.
Good, good. I'm glad that others have gotten it out. Good job to those folks. Wow, this is so amazing. It turns out people have been trying to get a hold of me involvement with this case in the last month, and they haven't been able to get through to me. I've just got to figure out some way with all the data we're getting to go through it all. In the time we've got left, again, other points you want to make about McVeigh, how you learned about the Oklahoma City case through the Trinity case, and that's the case that's got all these federal documents out. They thought, he was somebody involved. They were trying to get rid of the witness. They tortured him to death. That's on record. Just so incredible. Please continue.
Well, I guess I should say a couple of things. I'm from Oklahoma. I was born and raised there. And I never thought I would be on death row with Timothy McVeigh. But, sometimes, things happen and strange twists and fate. I would say that I guess I want to get back. I mentioned earlier about the government's prior warning. I mean, it's out there in the public domain about Carol Howell having told her handlers with the ATF about Strassmeyer and Dennis Mahan casing the buildings.
And I want to back you up. She was an ATF infiltrator, left hand, not knowing what the right hand. She worked for them on record, and they, indicted her because she wouldn't shut up, and then she defeated that.
Right, she was acquitted. She was ultimately acquitted. But during her trial, the facts came out that yes, she had told her handler all about the planning for a bombing from pretty much launched from Elohim City. So again, if you look at Strassmeyer, if you look at Andreas Strassmeyer, I mean, he was here illegally, and ICE had a warrant out for his arrest. The ATF had to be on the lookout out for him, and they actually planned a raid on Anaheim City for February of 1995, 2 months before the bombing. And for some unknown reason, Bob Ricks, who was in charge of the FBI in Oklahoma City, directed the ATF and the FBI in Tulsa not to have that raid.
So there were good government people trying to stop this, and it also came out in federal documents, two separate groups. They blacked it out in one, blacked out in another, but you can put the two over and basically get the full memo, and that's also been in mainstream news, mainly the papers out of Utah, where Mr. Trinidad has been working on the case, his brother killed. And in there, it talks about Southern Poverty Law Center with infiltrators in there as well. Do you have any Southern Poverty Law Center info?
Well, Kim didn't know or seemed not to know that that people from the Southern Poverty Law Center were actually in Anaheim City. You know, he did mention a lot of informants at Anaheim City. It was known as ABC Alphabet City. You know, amongst some of the Patriot crowd, and McVeigh referred to Anaheim City that way several times. There are other documents about the government having prior warning, or McVeigh mentioning the fact that he was working for the government. His initial attorney in this case was in Oklahoma City, who later withdrew because of a conflict of interest. In the McVeigh defense documents, which are now in the University of Texas in Austin in their archives, and that's where I've been able to get tons of the McVeigh defense documents. His first attorney, he told his first attorney that he was actually working for the government. And there's a report all about McVeigh, and when he found out that the attorney had divulged this information to an investigator and to his current legal team, he went ballistic. So I think that's a big point that people need to realize, is that Oklahoma City was two things. The government had prior knowledge that something was going to happen, and McVeigh did not act alone, and he didn't act just with the assistance of the Fortiers and Terry Nichols.
Well, that's on record that there was a fax sent out to federal offices and federal FBI buildings, and that they thought they were going to bomb the FBI building that day, not the Alfred P. Murrow building. That day, of course, they had offices in both, and so it's on record that there were good feds out there trying to warn people ahead of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, a perfect example of that is the fact that U.S. District Judge Wayne Alley stated that he was told not to come to work that day. I mean, that, as you said, that's been in the mainstream media, and just if you look at who was there and who wasn't there when the bombing happened, that also adds credence to the fact that McVeigh said about the government being involved.
Well, David Paul Hammer on death row in Terre Haute, Indiana. I want to be clear. I've studied this since 1995 when it happened. Everything you've said is been backed up by other statements, other affidavits, government documents. Well, I want to just say, for listeners tuning in, saying, why should we believe a convicted murderer who killed a cellmate, and that's why he's on death row, because everything he's saying is backed up with other people's statements. And it's just it's scary to have to even be involved in this and cover this, but we don't have a country, we don't have a future if we bow down to this. And you know, I think it's very important that you not be executed. I think it's very important that they unfreeze the fact that they'll never let you get to the media. I mean, how many years has it been since you've been able to ever talk to media live?
The last time I was able to talk to media was in December 1999. That was before McVeigh's 60-minute interview, and they stopped all others. And that was a TV interview, a local TV interview that I gave then. And all requests for national interviews, even before that and afterwards, have been denied. You know, I fought it all the way to the Supreme Court and had numerous news organizations. I had 22 news organizations file an amicus brief with the United States Supreme Court asking the court to hear this case because they thought the ban on the media, and I'm talking about all the mainstream media from the LA Times to the Washington Post, New York Times, they all joined the amicus brief, the reporters for professional journalism, I can't remember all the names of the societies that joined in, but it was impressive. But
well, here we are, and the world's hearing it right now. Other things McVeigh told you, run back through it. Any other points you haven't made?
Well, a couple of things, and I found support in this is the fact that he rented a truck in St. Paul, Minnesota, and one of the trucks that was used to build a bomb, not the bomb that actually exploded, but another bomb, that one that Terry Nichols helped him construct. The truck was actually rented in St. Paul, Minnesota. I found in the documents, when he told me this, I was somewhat skeptical. I was never able to track it down. But bound to behold, when I got a hold of the defense documents, there was an FBI 302, and it says that there was a grand jury going on at the same time the grand jury was convened in Oklahoma City. A second grand jury was convened in St. Paul, Minnesota, and that they were investigating and trying to get records from a Ryder truck rental agency there. And so I truly believe there was at least three trucks used as part of the bombing plot in Oklahoma City that I've been able to verify.
Again, if you just joined us, David Paul Hammer has been able to get through to us. There's no gag order, nothing even legal involved from the lawyers I've talked to. This is just the government won't let anybody talk to death row inmates, and I think that violates their First Amendment. I think it empowers tyranny. If I ever get framed for something or put in prison, I want to be able to talk to the media. They built a new supermax. The news has reported that they're going to keep, quote, American terrorists in when they're suspects, and they're not allowed to talk to their family, friends, or even lawyers. They've got legislation where citizens can be secretly arrested, stripped of all rights, the Violent Belligerence Act, but it says in there, for any intelligence purpose, you disappear, and then only an act of Congress can even tell folks where you are. You can be given enhanced interrogation. You know, that's been in the news, the headline, Senate wants citizens to be arrested if they're on suspicion of terrorism and be stripped of citizenship. Sir, you're not planning to commit suicide in jail, are you?
No, I'm not. I have absolutely no intent or desire to kill myself. As a matter of fact, I want to live as long as I can. I want to say this, that I'm speaking out publicly because I want them to be a record of what I have to say. And one of the questions that I would pose to your audience and to you and just to anyone, what in the world does the government think I can say that's going to harm them? The only thing can be is that they're going to be – I mean, what's going to happen if it comes out that, yes, in fact, they covered up what happened in Oklahoma City? And there's no doubt they did. But I'm an inmate on death row, and as you said, credibility is an issue. People will believe me or they won't. You know, I don't have an axe to grind with the government.
Well, I believe you because he told other – we have to pull up the mainstream articles. I can't remember all the places, but the quote was, one day it's going to come out the government did this. Do you remember where he said that?
No, but I have read or heard that before. And McVeigh clearly knew that I was going to write the information he was giving me. You know, I wrote an earlier book that was published in 2004, but without the benefit of the investigation and the documents and the stuff that we've been able to accumulate since then. And so, I wrote the book and told bits and pieces of what McVeigh told us, but the majority of the stuff I had to leave out because it hadn't been verified yet. And this latest book details it.
Yeah, give the websites out again for people that want to go see this testament.
It's deadly, www.deadly-secrets.com. Or if you just Google Deadly Secrets or David Paul Hammer, it'll come up that way, too.
Well, I hope you've got a lot of bandwidth because you're going to get hit with probably 500,000 hits.
Well, I really hope that people go and look at it. And not only that, it's, you know, Alex, someone has to care. Someone has to still care what happened in Oklahoma City.
Oh, listen, Mr. Hammer, I'm risking my life right now even doing this interview with you. I've got a family. I understand. Somebody's got to stand up. Somebody's got to say no. I'm not a death row inmate. I've seen all the documents you've seen. It's on record that they blew that building, and none of us are safe. And we've got, I mean, look how they're looting us with the banks. Look at how they want to arrest citizens now with no charges. I mean, we're in trouble. And so we need men to be men, not mice, and stand up to these people. And I'll never commit suicide, and I don't use drugs, and I'm not involved in anything illegal.
Right. Well, I also want to tell you, I welcome this opportunity to be able to speak out, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity because, you know, I have been wanting a way to not just make a written testament of what happened, but to get people to mobilize. I don't know if me saying anything is going to mobilize anyone, but I hope it'll at least motivate people to think about.
Well, resistance is victory. Resistance is victory, and you have in the and I believe you because everything you've already said is confirmed by others separately. I mean, when you talk about him saying they were going to stage his death, it was in the newspaper and on TV in Indiana that he was breathing when they took him out. I mean, you can pull that up. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know. Final segment with our guest. Hopefully you'll still be there when we get back from break. By the grace of God, his call made it through to us. And this is just incredible. And God protect us, please.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcasts?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from KeroStove. KeroStove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now, get the Family Emergency Kit at KeroStove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at KeroStove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to KeroStove.com. Kero Stove for family emergency solutions.
Times are tough, and you gotta stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at DoobleyShoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff.
New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more.
All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain, except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions.
You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase.
Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world.
Sign up today at DoublyShoppers.com.
Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at DoublyShoppers.com. That's DoublyShoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
David Paul Hammer on death row. He's been interviewed by the LA Times, you name it. It's on record that he talked to McVeigh a lot. And we were talking during the break about the ways they can persecute him. I was talking about all these clampdowns on prisons where people don't have any rights, which is really dangerous. And he said, oh, yeah, there's people in this prison that no one ever sees. And he talked about what they may do. They may come in his cell when they find out. They have to physically unplug the phone. This is a special phone system that he's on right now. Sir, go over that, and then let's talk about the fatigued leg. That came out in the news, a leg they can never identify with a body in 1995. Go ahead.
Well, I'll first talk about the people here who are on special administrative measures, which was enacted by an act of Congress where people sentenced or awaiting trial could be held in special confinement where they're isolated without any access to the phone, correspondence, or anyone else. They're just totally isolated. And we have three of those people here on death row in a different part of the building where we never see them and they never see us.
So it's a dungeon. You just disappear, and that's what this new national law will do to everybody. Go ahead.
Well, you know, that's that, they've had those people, some of those people here for 3 years. And the thing I wanted to talk about, McVeigh told us that there was a man that he called Poindexter who actually helped him put together the bomb, actually made the bomb in the warehouse in Oklahoma City. And that after the bomb was completed, when the major and one of his associates came to the warehouse where McVeigh and Poindexter still were to look over the bomb before the next morning. This happened the late evening of April 18th, 1995, that Poindexter had his throat slit and was killed and thrown into the back of the truck. And then the locks placed on the rider truck, and that when he was somewhat taken aback by what had just happened, and the major told him that, hey, that he wasn't one of us, meaning military, and therefore he couldn't be trusted. And he was put in the bomb. Once the bomb exploded and all the havoc and all the deaths and mayhem, medical examiner's office was finished identifying people, and there was an extra leg, and the extra leg was found that was attired in military fatigues and a combat boot, and that leg has never been identified to this day. I believe that's a big lead. McVeigh kind of laughed couple of times and said, look, all they have to do is run a DNA test. It's going to be in the military database or the CIA database of their agents or of military personnel. I don't know that is the case. But
no, it is. Everybody 37 and younger is in a CIA Pentagon database. That's now mainstream news. Blood's taken at birth. Everybody 37, now 38 or younger is in the database, born in a hospital. Told people this 14 years ago, now declassified. And, of course, the FBI, CIA, Pentagon all have access to the troops' blood as well. They also use it to frame people, but go ahead.
Well, there was testimony at Terry Nichols' trial and at McVeigh's trial about this extra leg. The medical examiner, Dr. Fred B. Jordan, he was a medical examiner at the time in Oklahoma City. He said that, yes, we have this extra leg and no one has come to claim it. There was further testimony from experts who involved in bombings in England who testified that in all the bombing cases there were always someone came. If there was an extra body part, someone always came to identify the victims of the explosives. And so this is a clue. The leg and other body parts were actually buried in a grave close to the state capitol building in Oklahoma City. But Dr. Jordan testified that he could not identify this individual's, whoever the owner of the leg was, through DNA.
Stay there. Got a break. 1 minute. 1 minute. Final 5 minutes from death row. Straight ahead.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.